Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's
Blog Talk Radio.
Get it going, Doc.
Never get sick of this, Ross. Let's light it up, 12-man sports, we might start. 12-man. Oh yeah. What?
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't beat me, my time is now. It's the red time where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Yeah, welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12-man, the person that you heard just yelling out 12-man. That, of course, is me, Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Today is Tuesday, December the 18th, and we are back on our original night, and we appreciate everyone kind of adjusting their schedules to us, and it may be like that for the next couple of days, or next couple weeks as we try to adjust for the holidays, but it is a good, good thing. So as always, we're excited to be hosting. Robert Ford, I always got to check in with how you doing, sir. Everything is going good in your world?
Everything's great, man. A little sleepy, but the music got me crunk now, man. It woke me up a little bit, so I'm ready to get this party started, bro.
Hey, man, we don't want any Mark Sanchez performances, man. I need you to be awake, man.
No, man, I'm always on top of my. I'm always top of the game, man. I'm on a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady kind of level, man. I'm always at that level, you know, LeBron James, Kevin Durant level, and I don't have an ego like Kobe either.
Oh man, love it, love it, love it. But once again, we want to thank you guys for tuning in. We got a lot of things to talk about as always, and let's throw out the numbers for those that want to check in and call or even tweet us, all that fun stuff. I'm going to throw out the pertinence. Those numbers are as follows: to call into the show, which is toll free, it's 424-243-9519. If you want to follow us on Twitter or even post any comments, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and also on Facebook, so facebook.com/12man sports. Got a lot of ways to hit us up and follow us and all that fun stuff, so let's jump right into it, Rob. Let's talk about this, and we're talking about egos. And the first thing we got on the agenda, is Kobe's ego the reason for the Lakers' troubles? And
That was a nice teaser, huh?
Yeah, because there's a lot of Laker fans out there, a lot of Kobe fans that we know. So tell us about your thoughts. If do you think his ego is actually the reason for their collapse?
Absolutely. I think Kobe Bryant, and I think what Andrew Bynum said was best a few days ago. I don't know if you heard the comments by Andrew Bynum, but he felt like playing with Kobe Bryant hurt his development. And I think Andrew Bynum has got a potential to be one of the top big men in the league, even better than Dwight Howard. He's got that kind of, ability. He's able to hit free throws unlike Dwight Howard. He's got the post moves unlike Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is a better athlete, but as far as pure basketball player, Andrew Bynum probably is better. And I think Kobe Bryant has a tendency to be a ball hog sometimes. I really do. He doesn't really like to pass the ball that often. And we even saw Michael Jordan, who I think is still the greatest basketball player that we've ever seen in our time. You've even seen him make clutch passes in a clutch, and guys like John Paxson and Steve Kerr hit game-winning shots in the finals based off of double and triple teams off of Michael Jordan. And Kobe's not always willing to make that pass in the clutch. Don't get me wrong, Kobe's hit his fair share of clutch shots. Don't get me wrong. But I think in a lot of cases, the best play for him would have been to pass the ball sometimes. And he's normally not that willing of a passer. And I think he probably hurt the development of Andrew Bynum. There's no excuse for him not to, be winning championships, having the better team right now. But I think he's running into the same problem with Dwight Howard. He's being selfish. And, from the looks of things, I don't think Dwight Howard is happy in L.A.
Wow. So what do you think? You think that Dwight's going to re-up, or you think he's definitely going to try to get out of this contract?
Dwight Howard is a free agent at the end of this year. And, I think if an opportunity presents itself, don't be surprised. I think Mark Cuban is set up perfectly this offseason to go out and snatch Dwight Howard away from the Lakers. He's going to have that kind of cap space. I think that's maybe one of the few organizations that he would lead the Lakers to go to. And I would not be surprised. I'm really thinking it's a 50-50 chance right now of him being in Los Angeles. I can really see him going to a team like Dallas or a team like Brooklyn in the sign and trade.
Interesting. Wow. Like you said, is Robert crazy? Not only has he made a couple of comments, he said that Dwight Howard is not as good. Well, Andrew Bynum's going to be, you know, has a lot of potential to be just as good as Dwight Howard, which is pretty interesting. And a lot of things as far as the future of Dwight Howard and the Lakers. So I guess not everything is great in La La Land. And be careful what you wish for sometimes, Rob, huh? You may get what you,
absolutely.
You want. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. So let's talk about the top five teams in the NBA. Let's kind of segue into this. And it's pretty interesting because a lot of times whenever I do a lot of these rankings, I base it upon overall record. And then I kind of base it upon, you know, who I think is playing well. So if I can lead it off with my top five, and you got to give it to Oklahoma City. They're actually, I think they have a 12-4 record, if I'm not mistaken, something crazy like that. They just have been dominating.
24, exactly.
24,
yes.
That's what I meant to say, 24. I feel like Rob getting sleepy over here. Yeah, 24 is their record whenever I was looking it up. And just very impressed with what they've been doing. So like I said, you got to give them a lot of props. Followed by the L.A. Clippers is who I have. Obviously, Chris Paul is making that machine go, but they have a lot of interesting. I mean, they're just playing like clutch basketball, so you got to be impressed with what they're doing as well. You got to give it up also for the Knicks. Surprisingly, they are keeping their strong play at 18-6. And I'm going to also follow it with the San Antonio Spurs and give it some honorable mentions out to a couple teams, being the Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State. They had a little slide, but they've been playing well. My Hawks, and, of course, the Miami Heat. So that's kind of where I have as far as what's been going on. It's not really a top five. I had some others that I added in the bottom half.
Yeah, you more like had a top eight right there.
I know, but I wanted to add, you know, some honorable mentions there. I think the Hawks are playing well, too. So let's throw that to you because you're like me. I'm sure you have, like, a lot of interesting things as far as the setup, as far as the top five guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go, here's my top five here, y'all. And you and I agree a lot here, this top five. My number one is Oklahoma City. And I'm just going off, I'm going off based on how the teams are playing right now, not necessarily who I think is going to win the championship. But right now, I think Oklahoma City is playing the best ball in the NBA. They've won 11 straight. And it doesn't look like they missed a beat on that James Harden trade. I think Kevin Martin is fitting in nicely with that team coming off the bench. He's a really good shooter. Maybe not the attacker to the basket that Harden is, but I still think he's fitting in with that team very nicely. And Serge Ibaka is taking his game to another level. And Oklahoma City couldn't afford both he and Harden, and it looks like they made a decision to stick with Ibaka, and I think it's a good move. Really good defender, really good rebounder. He's really improved his game offensively, and Oklahoma City is looking really strong. Number two, I got to go with the New York Knickerbockers. Right now, they look like the best three-point shooting team in the NBA. They spread the floor. They're getting very good spacing on offense. I think Mike Woodson has done a tremendous job, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they're able to incorporate Amari Stoudemire back into the rotation. I think he's due back in about a week or so, and he said that he's willing to come off the bench, so that should be interesting. Number three, I got to go with the Clippers. As you mentioned, Chris Paul is running the show there in Los Angeles, and they've won 10 straight as well. This year, their bench is a lot better than what they were last year, and I could easily see a Clippers-Oklahoma City Western Conference Finals, and that could be a really good one if that was to take place. And so right now I got to go with the Clippers. The Spurs, just still consistent. I mean, every year you think they're going to fall a notch or two, and they're just still right there near the top. And right now I have them at number four. And number five, I got to go with the Memphis Grizzlies. A few weeks ago, I had Memphis number one. They've dropped a little bit. But I still think this team might have the best front court in basketball. Rudy Gay, Zach Randolph, Marcus Gasol, one of the smartest big men, very good passer. And Mike Conley and Tony Allen getting them done, too, in the backcourt. So at number five, I have to go with the Memphis Grizzlies. There's my top five.
Very nice. I'm surprised you didn't throw the Bobcats in there, so. Yeah.
Oh, no, they're in the bottom five. If we were doing the bottom five, that's where the Bobcats would fall. Along with my Hornets, unfortunately.
it's okay. How is Anthony Davis playing so far?
He's playing pretty well. He's playing pretty well. Now that he's back healthy, he's not doing bad. He's playing pretty well. Right now he's number two behind Damian Lillard for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, Damian Lillard scored like 29 points, I just read, too. So you talk about just making good impacts. So we'll keep that going. Keep an eye on the Rookie of the Year as well. Maybe we'll throw that out to all of our listeners and all of our fans to see who do you think would be the Rookie of the Year for the NBA. So keeping it going. We're going to switch gears as we start talking some NFL. And let's talk about this. This is a pretty interesting start, and I didn't mean to talk about you, but Sanchez is officially benched for Greg McElroy against the Chargers, and I think the question that we posed, was it a good move? And without a doubt, I'm going to start this off, Robert. I'm going to say it's definitely a good move. And it's kind of a sad state of affairs whenever you're kind of watching the demise of a quarterback, because I do think Mark Sanchez has a lot of skills. Right now, he's just lacking a lot of confidence and just, you know, receivers dropping passes, and he's starting to, you know, make bad decisions and just things that, you know, he's just been totally broken down, I think, as a quarterback. So we talked about it before, and I think maybe a change of scenery will do him well. Maybe, like you said, behind a veteran guy to kind of help him out. And he does have the potential to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but like you said, it just kind of seems like right now his confidence is taking a huge hit. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this, sir.
Yeah, I think right now at this stage of the season, it doesn't hurt for the Jets to see what they have in Greg McElroy. And I really think that the problem has been with management and the head coach there. And I just think it's really hurt Mark Sanchez's confidence. Uh-huh. And just in my personal opinion, yeah, I don't think Rex Ryan is the answer, the head coach there in New York with the Jets. And, you know, and it could be a time for them to get a new head coach and a new quarterback. And I just personally think, though, if Mark Sanchez could get with a, you know, really good offensive coach, that they can bring out his skills. I still think this guy has the potential to be a solid NFL starting quarterback, but I just don't think it's going to be in New York. So I think that the Jets are doing the right thing by giving McElroy a look and to see if he could be a starting quarterback or do they need to look for someone in the draft.
Yeah, like you said, it's very interesting, and, you know, it's just kind of like disappointing. You think the next – so I guess we kind of skipped over Tebow, so – you know, Tebow has been kind of hot, and all of a sudden he's not anymore. I know how your feelings are on Tebow.
Oh, Tebow's not the answer.
Tebow's not the answer? He's not the answer? What?
He's not the answer. He's not the answer. Yeah, I don't even think he'll be with the Jets next year. I could see him in Jacksonville next year coming off the bench or something like that. And but, yeah, I'll be shocked if he's even with the Jets next season.
Yeah, this total implosion of that team. We talked about it before earlier, just the chemistry. Things just seem off of that team. So there's going to be a lot of changes in New York, I think, for the offseason. As I mentioned, are we crazy? Are we talking a lot of junk? Do you like what you're hearing? Give us a call. Check in. Tweet us. All that fun stuff. The number to call, 424-243-9519. And also hit us up via Twitter and Facebook, all the fun stuff. We'd love to hear from you and all that good jazz. So we're still going to switch gears here. We're going to talk about our top five teams in the NFL, and I'm going to start this off, if you don't mind, Rob, because I got to give a lot of – I'm going to let you start off. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to let you start off, sir. What do you have?
Oh, no problem. Okay, I don't mind going first, or you going first. It doesn't matter here. And I'm going to start off why, you know, I know this is – since your Falcons are doing really well, I know this is one of the topics you kind of look forward to. But I'm going to actually give you Falcons some props here myself, because I will be one – and I'm not ashamed to admit when I'm wrong, unlike my partner Andre, who still can't see that Goodell is wrong with the way he's handled this investigation. But I'm going to admit that I was wrong. I thought the Giants would beat the Falcons this past weekend, and I was clearly wrong, and I have the Falcons number one on my top five after demolishing the New York Giants this past weekend. So, you know, like I said, unlike my co-host, unlike my buddy Andre here, I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong, and but number one, I got to give credit to your Falcons. They're number one on my top five. I dropped Houston down to number two, and, you know, still was able to get a nice win over the Colts this past weekend and kind of rebound from their whipping the week before. Number three, still very impressed with Denver Broncos going the road and beating up on Baltimore. Very impressive win. San Fran, impressive win on the road in New England in the wintry mixed kind of weather. I bumped them up to number four. And number five, I moved the Green Bay Packers into the top five. Look out for them. And I've dropped New England out of the top five, and they would be number six on my list right now.
You know, it's interesting because I think I can admit that I'm wrong, and I was just offering another side of the equation with Roger Goodell. I'm not saying that he's right at all. I'm just here to bring another voice of, you know, the other side. And like you said, if you didn't have a chance to listen to our archive show last week, I think we spent like 30 minutes talking about the whole Saints thing, but we're not going
to... Y'all
got
to go back and listen to it last week. We had a series of debates.
It felt like our whole show was kind of thrown off. We didn't do any, like, predictions or anything, so we're not going to...
But you know, I had to take a little shot at it yet.
It's okay. Like I said, I'm not saying that's the case, but needless to say, I just wanted to see that there's other sides of that, too, so we'll go from there. But basically, I'm actually going to save this copy of the tape as well because Robert actually said that the Falcons are number one. I appreciate that, too. So, you know, obviously, we in Atlanta were pretty excited about that because we thought it was going to be a little closer, but the fact that we were able to play well and actually stay focused on the game. So, yeah, they're number one. Our top four is exactly the same. Obviously, the Texans are still number two. Broncos are playing lights out with that 11-3 record. I have the 49ers number four. And I actually have the Patriots still at number five, even though they got beat by the 49ers. I think it was just kind of an unfortunate situation in that thing. I mean, obviously, they were still in it until, like, the last couple minutes in that game. But, you know, obviously, it's kind of touch and go. So that's what we have for our top five in the NFL, and we'd love to hear a lot of your predictions as well. So moving right along, let's talk about this, and we'll kind of segue right into who do we think the teams are going to play in the Super Bowl. And I got a question for you, Rob, before we actually talk about this. Are you ready for me to come down to New Orleans and spend some time with you?
Yeah, I'm ready for you to come down for, like, Essence Festival, a jazz festival, French Quarter Festival.
Yes,
we're definitely ready to hang out, get some good food, some good music. Definitely ready for you to come down for one of those occasions.
To come down, we're going to hang out for the Super Bowl, sir. We're gonna be best friends, man. We're going to, like, tour the city. The Falcons are going to be there. It's definitely been much joy for me as a Falcon fan to root for the Falcons in the Superdome and actually win the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I mean, that would just be, like, the ultimate, like, of ultimate. So that's what I'm going for. Now, the AFC representative, I'd be scared if this actually happened. I think the Broncos are playing the best. So I kind of have them in there. If that's the case, that would be a tough win. I'm sure Peyton would want payback, but that's who I say right now. Falcons and Broncos. Look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks, sir.
Well, I'm not surprised that you have Atlanta in there, but I guess I'm a little surprised, but we have the exact same two teams in the Super Bowl. And so as of right now, as dreadful as it is for me to say this, but I think the Falcons will be in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. And I think that's the last thing Saints fans want to see. But as of right now, I do have the Falcons and the Broncos in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Peyton Manning playing in the Super Bowl in his hometown should be interesting. And that as of right now, that's who I have in the Super Bowl as well.
You know, it's funny because I'm sure the whole world wants that Manning versus Manning Super Bowl just because that's kind of where it all starts. So, you know, we'll see if there's any controversy or any, you know, things are going to come down with that. But, you know, right now I'm actually saving this tape again because Rob is just, you know, he's making me feel good. So I'm going to have to take it easy on you for the next couple of shows. You know, we're going to show you some love too. So,
yeah, I call it the way I see it. I call it the way I see it, and that, you know, based off the way the Falcons played this past weekend, like I said, I call it the way I see it.
good stuff. You love it, America, so I'm not messing with Rob. I'm going to show you some love. Let's talk about some NFL predictions here. We got some big games going on this weekend. First and foremost, we got Minnesota at Houston. What do you think about this game, sir? I actually have Houston keeping the streak going, and we're going to make a nice little comment about Mr. Adrian Peterson and Eric Dickerson, too. So what are your thoughts about this? You obviously – Houston has to contend with a very focused Adrian Peterson. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I like Houston in this game. I know Minnesota has had a nice win this past weekend against Chicago. And Adrian Peterson, oh, my goodness, this guy is running like a madman. It's got to be the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Initially, I was going to go with Peyton Manning, but Adrian Peterson has been outstanding. Even though I know Peyton's on a better team, But I still like Houston in this matchup. I just think Houston, offensively, they're a little bit more diverse, a little bit more balanced. And defensively, I think they have enough to slow Peterson down. You're not going to stop him, but I think enough to slow him down a little bit. And I like Houston at home in this matchup.
Yeah, Adrian Sills, he's still going to get his yardage, but I don't think they'll have enough firepower to actually outgun the Texans. Let's talk about the Giants versus the Ravens. And the Giants, I think they're going to be very, very upset about what happened in Atlanta. And like I said, I think it was just a situation where we were waiting for them in this instance. So I think they're going to rebound and they're going to play well. The Ravens are having a lot of challenges with their offensive coordinator getting let go, with Cam Cameron getting fired and Jim Caldwell kind of stepped in, and still some things aren't right. So I like the Giants in this particular matchup, even though it's at home versus the Ravens.
Yeah, the Giants is just one of these teams that's just kind of hard to read. On some weekends, they look like they can beat the gangbusters, where they can beat anybody in the league. And they definitely have the personnel on their team. And the Ravens are a little bit of a slump right now. But I'm going to go with the Ravens at home on this one. I think they have the defense to slow the Giants down. And I think he's looking at a low-scoring, squeaky kind of win by the Ravens. I'm talking 17-14, 20-17, something along those lines. But I like the Ravens at home in this matchup.
All right, okay. We're going to go a little different on that. Okay, let's move about the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. And this is a tough game as well. Russell Wilson, as we know, he is playing extremely well. I know that RG3 and Andrew Luck are stealing a lot of the headlines, but this is a tough game. You wonder if San Francisco is going to be a little, I'm not sure what the word is. Obviously, they had an emotional win versus the Patriots. You think they're going to be prepared to go into Seattle and face that 12th man and get a win? I like them because I got a 49er in the house, so I got to represent them. But this is going to be a tough game for them.
Who are you picking?
I'm picking the 49ers.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area there. And but one of my co-hosts is going to go with you all, but I'm going to have to go with Seattle on this one. And I like the way Seattle is playing. I mean, those guys have scored over 50 points 2 weeks in a row. I don't see them scoring 50 against the 49ers defense, but I think Seattle can match San Francisco's physicality in this matchup, and I'm looking at like a 24-20, 24-21 kind of win. I like Seattle at home, and we might have a divisional race on the line here in this last game of the season here on week 17. And right now, Seattle's about a game and a half back, but I like for them to win and cut this down to half a game.
It's just a tough matchup, too, because I think it was a big test for 49ers to go actually and play in New England, because, you know, we were wrong, because I thought that it would be tough for the 49ers to pull out a win versus the Patriots, but they actually did a great job in handling a lot of that particular pressure, especially Colin Kaepernick. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to see the way that team played. So for them to, you know, the only reason I would see them losing is, you know, obviously it's a tougher environment. Sometimes the 12th man could kind of act up, our namesake, if you will, out in Seattle. But like you said, there's still certain things that you wonder about, you know, hopefully – you're looking at that matchup, and you know, I like both teams are very physical teams, and it may come down to who doesn't make the least amount of mistakes. So it's going to be a good game no matter who pulls that particular one out. So very excited about that one. That's going to be a great game to watch. Let's talk about another thing I added, actually, and talking about the aforementioned Adrian Peterson. And Eric Dickerson had an interesting comment basically saying that he did not want Adrian Peterson to break his record. And that record has been since 1984 of 2,105 yards, that single rushing season, or 2,105 yards that Eric Dickerson set. Why do you think he said this, Rob? And do you think it's actually a good thing that he said this, or is it something that, you know, it's not one of the things he's not showing gamesmanship? Or I've kind of heard both sides of this particular argument, so I wanted to hear your thoughts about this.
Well, I don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you. I think the guy would like to see his name still in the record books. But I think if Adrian Peterson was to break it, I think Eric Dickerson would be the first to call and congratulate him. He just basically said, I don't want him to break it. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I mean, the guy wants to, you know, be competitive. I think we all are competitors by nature, especially men. And I think that's basically what it all. I think he would just like to see his name next to that on the record books. But like I said, if Peterson does so happen to break it, I think Eric Dickerson would be the first person to call him and congratulate him. So, no, I don't necessarily have a problem with what he said.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because a lot of times, you know, we have talk about egos and whatnot, and it's a situation, too, where, you know, Eric, I'm sure if you said that to somebody, that's going to actually make somebody want to break it even more. So it's just kind of one of the situations that, you know, somebody said, I don't want you to do that. Like, you don't want me to do that, huh? I'm going to try everything in my power, too. You know, that's kind of one of the situations, too. So I'm not sure what Eric was doing it. If he's really saying that, or, you know, that's kind of the thing I took from that. It seems like he was actually kind of egging him on. But, you know, like you said, if Adrian does, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but Dan Marino made a similar comment last year about Drew Brees breaking his record. You know, he, you know, didn't want to see it, you know, his record broken. But, you know, at the same time, you know, he called and congratulated him and said, you know, it couldn't happen for a better to a better person. And I just think that's the same thing that's going to happen with Dickerson, too. You know, Marino did the same thing last year. We didn't want to see his own record broken. And I think that's just guys being competitive. But I think he will call and congratulate Peterson if, in the event, he does break it,
gotcha.
Which is still an if.
Yeah, we got you. It's, like I said, if he definitely breaks it, he most certainly deserves a comeback player of the year. That's just awesome. Okay, let's jump into some fantasy shout-outs before we get ready to wrap the show. We got about three and a half minutes left, and so we'll kind of set up for the OT portion. So let's get these last fantasy shout-outs, and we'll talk about Johnny Football.
Yes, fantasy shout-outs. Once again, thank you all for competing with us in our fantasy sports. Number one, the 12-man sports fantasy football league. We're in the playoffs. Going into this weekend, we're going into the semifinals. The number one seed, would like to congratulate him, the Shark, Manny, is holding out a number one seed. And actually going up against your team this weekend, Andre, straight cash homie. And so you actually
right.
have an opportunity.
You got to say it right, Rob. You got to say it right.
So
Rob.
You have straight cash, homie.
There you go.
So you have an opportunity to knock off the number one seed. So we'll see how that goes in the 12-man sports fantasy football league. 12-man sports fantasy basketball. 12-man sports fantasy basketball still have a long season to go. And actually, yours truly, the Rim Rockers, Robert Ford's team, is moving into first place. And fantasy basketball. And then also we have a College Bowl Pick'em Challenge. And yours truly is also in first place in that challenge so far as well. There's still a lot more bowl games coming up, so hopefully I can stay at the top there. But once again, thank you all for competing. And we have some exciting challenges coming up here in the next year or two, so definitely stay in tune to us. We want to thank you all for tuning into the show tonight. And join us next week. We're going to be on Wednesday night. Next week on Tuesday is Christmas, so we're going to move it to the day after Christmas, Wednesday, December 26th, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to join us, 8 p.m. Pacific. I know you're all going to be full for some turkey and dressing and gumbo and whatever else you're going to be eating. So definitely make sure you tune in and don't get too sleepy on us and miss our show on next Wednesday night. December 28th. And for those of you all that can, we're going to go into an OT portion on after this that you can't hear live. But tomorrow, if you're sitting around your computer, make sure you click on our link. We got some college football coverage we're going to get into in our OT portion, even a little bit of college basketball, too. So you may want to catch that. And we have some exciting bowl predictions for you all that may need some help with your predictions. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
I just want to thank you, Robert, for being such a good sport, man, and keeping it real, man. Like I said, this tape is going to always be my favorite show ever, man. So not only have you picked the Falcons number one, you picked us in the Super Bowl. You know, the jersey is going to be coming to you shortly, so, I mean, we might as well just call it like a trifecta, man. So get that
jersey. Well, we can call it even, you know, since I gave you all these high remarks and maybe you don't have to send the jersey. You know what I'm saying?
That,
you know, it's called a negotiation tactic there.
I don't know. Let me think about that. Anyway, we'll talk some stuff. So for those that want to tune in, we thank you, as always, as Robert mentions. Catch us next week on Wednesday. As we wrap up, we're going to talk about some bowl predictions, and we're going to jump into some Johnny football talk. So join us for the OT portion. Listen as you guys are driving. See you guys next week.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. Don't forget.
In perfect timing, Rob. That was excellent. As we get ready to go into the second half or the second portion of the show, which is the OT. And I love how you set this up. We have a lot of college football talk and a lot of college basketball talk as well, if we get to that. And the first topic is Mr. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Just keeps racking up all these accolades. He has won the AP Player of the Year. And the question that is posed is, was this the right call? And as much as I appreciate Manziel, and sometimes I think you got to earn a couple of things, and I think he's done a great job, I still think in this instance it should have gone to my guy, Manti Te'o. And just because he's a senior, and I think a lot of things that he was kind of the heart and soul of that defense. And I just think that, you know, Johnny Football has a long way to go. You know, you don't want him to kind of – you've heard some guys that get out to that early start and they kind of fizzle out. So that's just me. I mean, like I said, I like the guy. I think he's done an incredible job. He won the Heisman. Congrats. First freshman to do that. I just think this is where it should have gone to Te'o. That's just me.
Well, you and I think, have kind of agreed with this, you know, for quite a few weeks now. You know, we were on the same page with Manti Te'o winning the Heisman, and I'm on the same page here as well. I would have liked to see Manti Te'o get this AP Player of the Year award as well. And I just think, you know, defensively he had a huge impact on the game that we haven't seen in a long time in college football. And I just would have liked to see him. Johnny Manziel, of course, has had a phenomenal year, not taking anything away from Manziel or Johnny Football. He's had a phenomenal year, an incredible year. I just think that I just would have liked to see Manti Te'o to get at least one of these awards, whether it be the Heisman or the AP Player of the Year in college football. But, you know, Manti Te'o's got a chance to play for a national championship, which Johnny Manziel does not. So I'm sure that will be the ultimate prize for him. So that will be interesting to see how well this Notre Dame team does against Alabama. But, you know, I just thought that Manti Te'o would have been just slightly more deserving.
What do you think about the? You think Te'o has the option to win the award for the best linebacker of the game? You think or what?
Do I have a chance? Does he have a chance to be the best linebacker in the national championship game?
Or just in general, like for the in college football?
History?
No, not of all time. But isn't there a college football award for that? For
I would think if there's an award for best linebacker this year, he hands down should have that. Then,
gotcha.
You know, shouldn't even be close.
Gotcha. We'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully, and he seems like he's a guy that didn't have to have these accolades. He's just kind of flying under the radar. And sometimes, hey, you know, that's motivation as well. So we'll see. But, you know, we're fans. I'm definitely a big fan of him and the way he's changed the game too. So we'll keep it going. All right, so let's talk about some bowl predictions as we are moving right along in the show. And these bowls are just getting more interesting and interesting, sir. I just look at the names and I'm like, wow. okay, try to keep track of everything. But first we got the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. We've got Brigham Young versus San Diego State, the Aztecs versus the Bulldogs, the Cougars, excuse me. And this is an interesting matchup. I actually like Brigham Young, BYU, in this affair. I think they're just a little bit more physical team. They've got a lot of those guys that have been on missions, and so they've been a stout team defensively, so I think they're going to be able to withstand against the Aztecs of San Diego State. Marshall Fox.
Yeah, I like Brigham Young here, too. I think their program is a little bit more polished here. And, you know, Brigham Young, this is a team that is used to winning 9, 10, some cases 11 games a season. I just think you're talking about a program that's just a little bit more polished than San Diego State. And as you mentioned, they're a little bit more seasoned as well, with guys having served Mormon missions for a couple of years. In a lot of cases, they'll have seniors that are 24 and 25 years old. And so you got to like Brigham Young here in this matchup. Plus, I think they have a little bit more talent.
Gotcha. The Beef O'Brady Bowl in St. Petersburg, we got Ball State versus UCF. and University of Central Florida. What do you think about this one? I was able to see like a lot of stuff about this particular matchup, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I have to go with Central Florida here. I think coaching-wise, you have George O'Leary, an experienced coach. And
yeah.
As you know, I used to be the coach at Georgia Tech. I just think they, you know, a little bit more experience, you know, program defensively is playing really well, solid ground game as well. And I just think George O'Leary is just going to be, you know, a better coach in this matchup and have his team prepared to play. I have to go with Central Florida here.
Yeah, you got to go with the physicality. They're definitely more physical, too, so that's something to say about them, too. So, you know, nothing against my teams up north, but you got a lot of physicality down in the south, it seems like. Let's move on to the R plus L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. This is correct. East Carolina.
Yep, R and L
Carriers. Yeah, East Carolina versus your boys, the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. They're actually 5.5-point favorites. Raging Cajuns, man, they kind of had a – they were scaring a lot of teams earlier this year. They had a pretty good record, and I actually liked them in this particular bowl game. So what are your thoughts?
Definitely have to go with the Raging Cajuns here. And, you know, they were in the New Orleans Bowl last year, and they, you know, with Lafayette only being about an hour and 45 minutes from New Orleans, I mean, they brought a huge crowd. And I would expect the same this year. So it's going to be almost like a home game for them. Plus, I just think they're a better team, you know, and I think Louisiana Lafayette will win this game.
They just like say, hey, just keep all of our games in the New Orleans Bowl. Just keep it like that. We like it like that. So that's right about now. Love it, love it, love it.
Mark Hudspeth, the head coach of Louisiana Lafayette, that's a name you ought to remember. He's going to be getting a top-notch head coaching job somewhere. So I think Louisiana Lafayette has got to enjoy while they have him. And, but this is a name that's – he's definitely going to be getting a big-name program here pretty soon.
I can see that, too, because of the fact that his team has been playing extremely well. They put a lot of – like we talked about earlier in the year, they were scaring a lot of teams. So great coaching, obviously, with not as much talent, you would actually say. So, yeah, let's keep an eye on that particular situation, too. So enjoy him, Louisiana Raging Cajun guys. The next matchup, we have the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas. We have Washington at number 19, Boise State. Another interesting coach, Chris Peterson for Boise State. Another thing as we segue into the predictions, but I think eventually he may actually start looking for other opportunities because maybe he's tired of Boise State not getting the respect that they deserve. So we'll see about that. I like them in this particular game, so I think they have a better defense than Washington. So they're ranked number 19, so I kind of got to give them an edge in this particular matchup.
Yeah, I like Boise State, too. And I think and you mentioned defense here, and I think Boise State has been one of the more underrated defensive programs in the last few years in college football. They've been putting out a lot of good defensive talent in the pros, too. And I think you're so used to them just scoring so many points and being a great offense, but a lot of people don't give them credit for being very physical as a football team, both along the offensive line and defensive line fronts. And I like them against Washington in this game. I think Chris Franklin has done an unbelievable job there. And, he turns down jobs. And some big-name schools are, are backing away from him because he seems to just be happy at Boise State. But I just think that maybe he's just waiting on the right job. I think of something like an Alabama or an LSU Georgia, a program like that just so happens to open to Florida, he may say yes, but I don't think he's just going to jump to a job like an Arkansas or Tennessee. And I think he's waiting on that big name.
Don't put out Alabama out there, Rob. You're going to make all these people call in the show and start having some type of the phone. You're going to put a little fear in the Alabama fans because we know that Nick Saban, he said he didn't want to go back to the pros, but let's not put that out there.
Back to Greenville, Alabama.
Oh, here we go. Love it, love it, love it. Let's talk about the next bowl game, the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl. We have Fresno State versus Southern Methodist. And I got to be honest, I'm not really sure about Southern Methodist. So I'm going with Fresno State, the Bulldogs. I think they're definitely more physical in this matchup. So unless you pull something, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game, so I've got the Bulldogs.
I have the Bulldogs, too. What do you mean you don't know enough about SMU? June Jones, you used to be the head coach of your Falcons, right?
I'm just joking. There's a lot of love.
Yeah. You know they're coming out there with that run-and-shoot offense.
Definitely, man, those guys. But no, it's interesting, too, because you know, they've been through a lot. So I actually am proud of them to get to the bowl game, to actually do a lot of good stuff. So you're definitely impressed with the fact that they're actually in this bowl game. But like I said, I don't think they have the firepower in this particular matchup versus a very physical Fresno State team. So that's what I have for this.
I definitely like Fresno State as well.
Let's move along and let's talk about the Little Caesars Bowl. We have Western Kentucky versus Central Michigan. And I'm just going to go on the record and say I'm going for any school that's against Bobby Petrino. So it could be it could be a Pee Wee League, and I'm going for the Pee Wee League versus Western Kentucky. So, that's who I have. Central Michigan, I don't even care if they have, Robert playing quarterback. Central Michigan, by the way.
That'd be a really good team if I was playing quarterback. Really good team. With my accuracy, my pinpoint accuracy, oh, man.
Oh, here we go.
Scrambling ability, my capability of climbing the pocket.
Oh, man. Mark Sanchez brings a lot of things to my mind. Go ahead, sir.
I know West Kentucky hired Bobby Petrino, and, I know even myself think he's a little weasel. But,
I love it.
But West Kentucky is a better football team here. And you're talking, they're the Sun Belt champion, and they were a really good football team this year. And Petrino may even help him in a bowl game, too. And, Petrino, in my opinion, as I just mentioned, is a little weasel. But one thing I can say about him is he can coach. There's no doubt about that. there's no doubt about that. So I have to go with Western Kentucky here. They're the better team.
I love you. So that's why we have a good show, because we bring balance to the force. As we get ready to wrap up the show, Rob, we got about 4 minutes left. And we are now going to jump into some college basketball. It's been a very interesting start. We're not quite yet into a lot of the main meat of the schedule, but we're getting there. And if you've been watching college basketball, to see an amazing upset, Butler upsets the number one ranked team in Indiana. With Indiana, obviously both in Indiana. So a lot of love for my home state. And the question that we had is, Duke is actually the number one team in college basketball, and are they the number one team, And that was the question that was posed. And I'm going to throw a vote in for Michigan. They're 11-0. I like what's going on. I obviously got, a lot of future stars in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Glenn Robinson III, Trey Burke. This is a team that I think they're playing extremely well. I think they should be the number one team, and that's no offense to Duke, obviously. Not a big fan of Duke, but that's who I think should be number one. What about you, sir?
I think that's a good call. Right now, even though Indiana lost to Butler, I still think they're the best team in the country. And I will go with Indiana. But, Indiana and Michigan should be some fun games to watch this year. I don't know if you recall watching Indiana and Michigan back in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Knight and Kelbert Cheney and going against the Fab Five. Those are some really good basketball games. Watching Indiana against Michigan. I think we finally got that basketball rivalry back a little bit this year. So that should be fun to watch. And I think they're both two of the top four teams in America. I think Duke and Syracuse are the other two top four teams. So as of right now, I would say they're my top four. But I still slightly like Indiana better. But I like your call of Michigan as well.
Gotcha. I appreciate the love on that, too. So that is what we have for the show. I guess we're going to wrap up and start setting up for next week. We are officially in the two-minute warning of this. So anything you want to talk about, sir, we did a great job getting through a lot of our topics. I'm very proud of us. So we have a lot to talk about. It seems like we got through all those, and we had a good amount of dialogue. So anything you want to set up as we get ready to head into next week?
Next week, once again, we're going to be on Wednesday night. Next week, Tuesday, is Christmas, so we're going to move our show to Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. 8 p.m. Pacific for our friends in Hawaii. That's 5 o'clock for you all. Aloha. We definitely want you all to join us. Tell us what you think about the show. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, @12thmansports. And once again, you all may want to go back and listen to our archive show from last week as Andre and I have an explosive debate on the so-called bounty program. And so make sure you all definitely go back and take a sneak peek at that. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
Yeah, I just want to definitely concur with you. That was a great show. We had a lot of fun. And like I said, I just want to throw this out there that I am not a fan of what the dictator did as well. But I just wanted to have a different voice to keep it going. So that's I just want to throw that out there too. So, poor Robert thinks I'm against the Saints. That's not the case at all. So, anyway, it was just fun dialogue.
He's for Goodell. He's a Goodell supporter.
No, I'm not. He's trying to give me a shot, man. Anyway, I also got to say, if we come to North